Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today you'll hear Seth chat with CNN's Chris Cuomo, whose interview with LeVar Ball from last week is already infamous. Then Cuomo takes a few more questions backstage just for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
President Trump is now all in on backing the accused sexual predator running for Senate in Alabama, with the White House arguing that they need his vote to give corporations a giant tax cut. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. No matter what else happens, Donald Trump will surely go down as our neediest and most insecure president, with the possible exception of Millard Fillmore, whose first State of the Union speech started with, "Do you guys think I'm fat?" Yesterday, Trump tried to claim once again that he's been the most productive president in history, tweeting, "Since the first day I took office, all you hear is the phony Democrat excuse for losing the election, Russia, Russia, Russia. Despite this, I have the economy booming and have possibly done more than any 10-month president." He's right about one thing. The way Robert Mueller is handing down indictments, there's a good chance Trump will be a 10-month president. You know what Trump's tweets remind me of? You ever been out with a couple and the wife says something like, "Hey, Dave, will you pass the salt?" And then Dave just goes off. And you're like, this must be something that started in the car because this is not about salt. But since Trump is historically unpopular and doesn't actually have any major accomplishments to back up that claim, he's resorted to unhinged conspiracy websites to back him up. He retweeted a link to website MAGAPill.com that calls itself the President Donald Trump Accomplishment List website. Although I don't know why you need a website for something that could be covered with an emoticon. So what else? What else does MAGAPill.com believe? Well, a recent post promoted a list of conspiracy theories, including false flag terrorism, child human sacrifice, weaponized forced vaccination, earthquake machines, and organ harvesting. And I'm sorry, but the only organ that's been harvested here is Donald Trump's brain. Maybe there's no pee tape, but I can definitely see Donald Trump waking up in a Moscow hotel in a bathtub full of ice with a scar on his head saying, "Oh, no." "I think my brain is gone." Now, if you were to glance at actual polls, you'd see that most Americans don't agree with Trump's boasts. In fact, forget looking at polls. Trump just needs to look at his surroundings. As he made his way back to D.C. from Florida yesterday, the reporters who traveled with Trump noted he was followed by a growing number of protesters. Some of the signs spotted read, "President Trump is fake news. Go away and don't come back. And Mr. Mueller is coming for your orange ass." And that sign in particular is great because not only is it rude to Trump, it's also very polite to Mueller. "Mr. Mueller is coming for your orange ass." The only thing that would piss off Trump even more is an engraved invitation. "Sir Robert Swan Mueller III, Esquire, cordially requests the pleasure of your company at an evening reception to go f*** yourself. BYO orange ass." So, Trump was in Florida over the weekend, and of course, at this point, we just take it for granted that Trump, who repeatedly bashed Obama for golfing, spent the weekend golfing. In fact, on Sunday, Trump hit the golf course for the fifth day in a row. Even the Masters only lasts 4 days. Trump golfs more than people who play golf for a living. In fact, on Friday, when it was reported that Trump was hitting the links with professional golfers Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson, he actually admitted it, but tried to claim it wouldn't take that long. After Turkey Call, I will be heading over to Trump National Golf Club Jupiter to play golf quickly with Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson. Then back to Mar-a-Lago for talks on bringing even more jobs and companies back to the USA. You can't play golf quickly. Golf is the monopoly of sports. And Trump doesn't do anything quickly. He's an out-of-shape 71-year-old who moves like he's climbing the Empire State Building. But as Trump golfs, the rest of the country is continuing to grapple with the deluge of sexual harassment allegations that has rocked virtually every aspect of society. Everyone has had to deal with this problem, and that includes the leaders of both political parties. For example, yesterday, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi was asked about Michigan Congressman John Conyers, who secretly settled sexual harassment allegations by a former employee, and her answer was shockingly tone deaf.
You said there's now a zero tolerance.
Yes.
John Conyers, what does that mean for him right now?
Let's say
in or out.
We are strengthened by due process. Mm-hmm. Just because someone is accused, and was it one accusation, is it two? I think there has to be. John Conyers is an icon in our country. I believe he will
Why
do.
Don't you?
I believe that
well,
he will.
How is it that you
excuse
don't?
Me, may I finish my
sure,
sentence?
Sure.
That he will do the right thing.
And is the right thing what? Resign?
He will do the right thing in terms of what he knows about his situation.
No, he's in this position because he allegedly did the wrong thing. You can't say the guy who did that wrong thing will do the right thing. Also, it doesn't matter that he's an icon. If anything, it makes it worse. I'm an icon is like a sexual harasser's catchphrase. Hey, I know you haven't consented to any of this, but I am an icon. The president took to Twitter to double down on his tacit endorsement of the accused child molester running as his party's Senate nominee in Alabama, Roy Moore. Trump attacked Moore's Democratic opponent, Doug Jones, a lifelong prosecutor who convicted the KKK members responsible for the Birmingham church bombing that killed four little girls, tweeting, "The last thing we need in Alabama is the U.S. Senate is a Schumer-Pelosi puppet." I'm sorry, he's a puppet? You're telling people to vote for a guy who looks like Howdy Doody's alcoholic brother-in-law. Yeah, give me a puppet vest and a puppet hat. Now, as depressing as it is, it probably shouldn't be surprising that Trump would stand by Moore, given that Trump himself has been accused by over a dozen women of sexual harassment and assault and, of course, bragged about it on tape. In fact, Trump is reportedly sympathetic to Moore because he claims that he himself was wrongly accused. And now he's reportedly even telling people that the infamous Access Hollywood tape might not be real.
Trump sees the calls for Mr. Moore to step aside as a version of the response to the now infamous Access Hollywood tape and that flood of groping accusations against him that followed soon after. Trump suggested to a senator earlier this year that the tape itself was not authentic. He has repeated that claim to an advisor more recently.
Wait, you're claiming that Access Hollywood tape was fake? Are you insane? Oh, right. First of all, you admitted it was real. Second, you know how I know it's real? Because to get off the bus, you did this. That is so dumb that no one would ever think to fake that. Oh, I know. Let's make it look like he taps on the glass to get the door open. No, no one's that much of an idiot. We want people to believe this. Aside from the fact that Trump is openly sympathetic to fellow sexual predators, he also desperately wants Moore's vote for his plan to massively cut taxes for corporations and wealthy heirs. Trump and the GOP want to get it done by the end of the year, and in fact, Trump keeps trying to sell it as a Christmas gift.
We're working to give the American people a giant tax cut for Christmas. We are giving them a big, beautiful Christmas present in the form of a tremendous tax cut.
We're going to give the American people a huge tax cut for Christmas. Hopefully that will be a great, big, beautiful Christmas present.
I'm sorry, but the last person I want to get a Christmas present from is Donald Trump. He's the kind of guy who would give you a framed photo of himself and tell you where to put it in your house. Trump is so obsessed with tax cuts and what he claims would be their impact on the economy that he even mentioned them during a rambling video call with American service members stationed overseas on Thanksgiving.
We're doing well at home.
The economy is doing really great. When you come back, you're going to see with the jobs and companies coming back into our country, and the stock market just hit a record high. Unemployment's the lowest it's been in 17 years. So you're fighting for something real. You're fighting for something good. A lot of things have happened with our country over the last very short period of time, and they're really good. They're really good. I especially like saying that companies are starting to come back. Now we're working on tax cuts, big, fat, beautiful tax cuts. And hopefully we'll get that, and then you're going to really see things happen.
Oh, my God, a rambling phone call from a 71-year-old man in Florida on Thanksgiving. It's official. Donald Trump is everyone's grandpa. When he hung up, they were probably relieved to get back to what they were doing, and what they were doing was Afghanistan. Yeah, actually, we gotta go. We've got ISIS. In fact, incoherent rambling seems to have become Trump's default mode when trying to sell his tax plan. Trump recently spoke by phone with a group of Democratic senators about the plan, and according to one of the senators on that call, Trump rambled for so long, his economic advisor, Gary Cohn, had to fake a bad connection to get him off the phone.
About 30 minutes into the call, Gary gets up and takes a call on his cell phone, comes back into the room, and he says, we have somebody calling in from Asia. And it was the president, which was nice. It's nice of him to do that. 15 minutes later, the president's still talking. And I said to Gary, and it was a room where we're all sitting around this big square table, and I said, Gary, why don't you do this? Why don't you just take the phone from, you know, your cell phone back and just say, Mr. President, you're brilliant. And but we're losing contact, and I think we're going to lose you now, so goodbye. And that's what he did, and he hung up.
Are you saying Gary Cohn faked a bad connection to get the president off the phone?
Well, I wouldn't. I don't want to throw him under the bus, but yes.
Oh. Oh, you don't want to throw him under the bus. Bro, you pushed him in front of it as it was speeding down the street. So the president is standing by an accused child molester in order to pass a tax cut plan that would overwhelmingly benefit the wealthy and corporations. In other words, Trump has handed the Democrats
a great, big, beautiful Christmas present.
This has been A Closer Look.
Ryan Reese, audience warm comedian for Late Night with Seth Meyers, here with Mersenth from New Jersey, who just came from a live taping. President Trump is closing in on his one-year anniversary. What do you think of his presidency so far?
Is it still going on? I wish it were over.
What do you think of President Trump's support of Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore, who's been accused by multiple women of sexually assaulting them as teenagers?
Absolutely repugnant.
Some say it's all about tax cuts. Do you think it's worth it?
There are going to be no tax cuts for people who really need it, especially his base. This is pretty pathetic. For anyone who believes that he's actually going to cut their taxes, and they're working people, they're mistaken. He's cutting taxes for the rich, and I'm so sorry for the American people if they believe that he's going to cut their taxes.
Thanks so much. We really appreciate your time.
Our guest tonight is an award-winning journalist who co-hosts New Day weekday mornings on CNN. Please welcome back to the show, Chris Cuomo, everybody. How are you?
Tired.
Yeah. Well, you've been doing double duty. You were doing your show, and then you've been filling in for Don Lemon at night.
Yes.
That's a lot, because you have to wake up very early to do New Day.
I do.
Yeah. Well, thank you for making time for us.
Well, I really didn't have much of a choice.
Yeah, okay, good. I want to talk because there was you did an interview that's been making the rounds. It was really something to see. You interviewed LeVar Ball, who is the father of one of the UCLA basketball players. Now, for those who don't follow sports, LeVar Ball is, I think, a very new face on the scene. If you follow sports, you've been aware of LeVar Ball for a couple of years now. He's quite a character. So you interviewed him. It was 23 minutes talking to him about whether or not he would apologize to Donald Trump. It was very hard for us to cut it down to just some highlights, but just for our audience, let's take a look real quick.
Oh, please, can't get enough.
I say thank you when I see something. I don't thank you because just people because it's talking and say, I did this, I did that.
So if the president, like, invited you to the White House, would you say thank you then?
Heck yeah, if he invited me to the White House. Did you thank the doctor for bringing you into this world? Well, you better go back and find him because you're lucky. You need somebody like me to loosen you up a little bit because you wound up tight.
But here's what we learned.
Oh, that's where the Mo came from? Chris Mo?
Cuomo, not Chris Mo.
Hey, man, you
Cuomo. LeVar, get your head straight.
Cuomo. Like Cuomo, like Google. Like the Google Chrome. I get it, Chroma.
All right, that's it.
That's your hip-hop name in the hood, huh?
I mean, it was amazing.
Oh, funny.
Was it more fun than the sort of politicians you usually talk to?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. How quickly did you tell, I mean, because again, I mean, I have to assume you didn't plan to talk to him for 23 minutes, so obviously you were on the fly deciding this is too good to stop.
No.
Did you realize, like, within 30 seconds that this was off the rails and just hold on tight?
If you can capture right now Fred's face.
Yeah.
This is how I was during the interview. This kind of, why am I watching this? What is happening? As soon as I... That's really it. I mean, done better than I did it, but that's how I felt. Yeah. Anyway, I asked him the first question, which I honestly thought, and this is going to make me look even worse, I thought that we were going to get into it about what happened in China.
Right.
And what legitimate basis LeVar Ball has for saying the president didn't get them out. Because he said, I had my people on the ground.
Right.
And I talked to some people, and some things happened. So there it is. And you have to understand, I am wound very tight.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that. Even in this day and age, usually it's a little bit higher standard than that. You know. So I, as soon as he said that, and he was looking at me with a straight face, I said, well, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But we were saying this on the show. I mean, the only other person I know who would give an answer like that, which is we had people on the ground, I had them look into it, and they solved it, is the president.
Yes.
So don't you feel like this feud is just the perfect feud for the times we're living in?
I said, and this is true, you can check my Twitter feed, when the first volley came out, I said, ooh, this could be, could be an epic trash-talking smackdown. Because this is... But I never thought the president of the United States would take the bait.
Yeah.
I didn't even take the bait.
Yeah.
And that's... My job is to take the bait.
By the
that's
way, what are you talking about? There's no bait left in America. Donald Trump took all the bait.
He has...
He takes all the bait. Like, I thought, I thought he'd take the high road. The high road. There's no traffic on the high road right now.
Listen, you are right.
Yeah.
You are right. Funny and right. Good combination. However, this is my thinking, just so you know. The president likes to say, I am the biggest man in the room. I am the biggest. Yeah. I am the best, period. And you can fill in the blank into what category, because he believes that. And that's great. It's great to have confidence. However, he does not act like the biggest man in the room. The biggest man in the room stands in the room, and when someone like me comes up to him and says, how are you going to make that happen? They look down at me and say, I'll tell you how. And there's a little pat on the head, and then I ask a follow-up question, and you walk away. You don't take the bait when you're the biggest man in the room. I was surprised he did it. And I actually left my phone on because I'm trying to get to LeVar Ball to have him back on. I thought we had a nice bond.
Yeah.
23 minutes.
So I want to ask this because I think we're talking right now. One thing is it seems like Donald Trump, he talks about Fox and Friends a lot. He sends a lot of praise. You're on against them. But you definitely get the sense that he is watching your show as well.
Indubitably.
Yeah.
Which means I found out without doubt.
Okay, great.
He is watching our show. Mm-hmm. He tweets during the show. He tweets in response to what happens on the show, which, by the way, is a blessing of relevance.
Yeah.
To know that the commander-in-chief, our president, is watching the show, it really does imbue you with a little sense of responsibility and a little bit of anticipation on a regular basis. Like, you know, and it gives you the opportunity to actually look into the red light and say, and by the way, if you're watching, here's why this isn't true.
Yeah.
And that's unusual.
Yeah, that is very unusual. You've done great work the last few years. You are still known on the streets of New York. You are most famous for Hurricane Irma. You were the guy who... you're like the guy they make fun of to this day.
Yeah.
That's like the worst it ever was for anybody who was out there.
Yeah, I mean, look at the picture. I mean, yeah. I think the picture tells you everything you need to know.
And you just toughed it out. You just weren't going to blink, huh?
Here was my goal.
Okay.
Okay? But you have to understand, what I am doing is in the business we call very stupid.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's
indubitably
because we are. Yeah. Okay, it's good. It's good. All right, so we are standing in wind and rain. Yeah. All right, this is not what you train to do ever anywhere unless you're a stop sign. So, my only goal was don't fall down.
Yeah.
Do not blow around. Do not fall down. That is the only way you can salvage just a modicum of dignity.
Yeah.
In this.
Is this a shirt for me?
Now, well, that, yeah, it's a little rude, but yes, yeah. It is. Now you're going to jump the gift. So the T-shirt, I had the T-shirt on. People made a big deal about the T-shirt. This is the T-shirt.
This is the T-shirt?
I don't want the pressure of the T-shirt anymore.
You think I want to work out and have the pressure of your T-shirt?
I think you need the pressure of the T-shirt.
I will take it.
So this
is the gauntlet.
This is the T-shirt.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you
it
so
is
much.
Yours.
I really appreciate it.
You are the best.
All right, I'm going to work on. You too. Congratulations on everything, and please come back soon. Chris Cuomo, everybody. New day is weekday morning on CNN.
Hey, everybody. This is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Chris Cuomo. Chris, we were chatting earlier about the president's tweets. Obviously, there's a big debate in the media about like what to cover, what not to cover with this Twitter feed. But what's so interesting about your show specifically, you guys are on from 6 to 9, which is prime Trump tweeting hours. How do you guys adapt to that? And how do you make decisions about what's newsworthy and what you can just kind of let go by?
Very good question. Very difficult, Henry. I'll tell you the truth, because people come at it from different directions. Some say it's a distraction. Now, sometimes I think strategically it may well be a distraction for the president, but here's where my head is on it. For so many years, I've worked sources, I've surmised, I've begged for insight into where a president's head is. And there's always this kabuki, you know, there's always this misdirection. You never really know. The president doesn't really talk to you that way, even if you have the chance to interview them. Now we know. Now, is some of it distraction? Is some of it artifice? Yes, but that's part of politics. To have official statements from the president, and that's what these tweets are, I think it's gold. I think it's a gift.
It must make your job easier and harder.
Easier and harder, yes. Why? What is that paradox? It's easier because you actually know now. It's harder because you do have to suss through the different layers of what matters and what doesn't and why. And there's a subjectivity to that. And there's room for criticism in that, but that's part of the job.
How much prep do you do before your show starts? It starts at 6 a.m. So how much prep are you doing in the early morning? And how much do you produce and learn and report on the fly during or while you're airing?
Everybody has their own deal, right? I am insecure and compulsive. So I read all the time. I have such a fear of being across from you, and not just because of your intimidating good looks, but that
That's right.
I say
thank you so
something.
Much. You're the first person to say that, and thank
and
you.
I say, but Henry, why isn't it that blah, blah, blah? And you say, well, that's not true.
Right.
Well, this is why it is, and that's what the problem is, and I don't know. I'm caught flat-footed. Now, you're not going to know everything, and I'm almost always at a disadvantage. I'm almost always interviewing people that own as an expertise whatever it is that we're discussing, or they have information I'm not privy to. So I read 24/7, 365.
Right. How does your preparation for news change when you're doing it at different hours of the day? Like you were just saying, I mean, you were filling in for Don Lemon this week. I imagine it must just be a different pace of preparing for a show that airs in the evening versus a show at the beginning of the day. Is that the case?
I change nothing. You are reasonable to believe that. It should change. I don't change. In fact, people will see me at night and say, that was a good adjustment of tone or of this or that. I change nothing. It is all in the perspective of those who are watching. I prepare the same way.
Right.
I speak the same way. Same deal. Different time.
Because we were saying earlier as well, like, New Day is not a classic morning show.
No.
It's a news show.
It is a nighttime accountability show in the morning by design.
That's a great way to plug it. Let me ask you a final question here. When you prepare for these interviews, and then when you're actually doing these interviews, I imagine you have all these facts in your head, all this information. You want to be as prepared as you can. You want to make sure you can ask follow-ups and fact-check them in real time. What do you think is going through the head of the person you're interviewing, if that person is kind of part of the Trump world, and you're pressing them on something that, as a viewer, we can tell they're not maybe so prepared for or lying about?
You know the famous Mike Tyson line, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Right.
That is genius and so true in so many different contexts. Once it's on, and it's you and me, and it's combative, or it's confrontational, or you make it that way, I am listening.
That's all I'm doing. You revert to the basic. And basic is listening. And a lot of interviewers make the mistake of thinking about, where am I on my list? What do I want to cover?
Totally.
What different topics do I want to hit to try to get as much pickup as I can? And I don't give a, I don't care about any of that. Right. I'm just listening. The key is listening intently.
That's why the LeVar Ball interview was so great, because you followed. No one can watch that and be like, oh, he had a clear plan and it stuck to the plan. You
followed nobody him where he went. Nobody, also, nobody can follow. It was
you
like
followed
following
him and it was,
a ghost.
I watched it two times in full, which is almost an hour of content, and it makes no more sense now than it
did. I never watch myself ever. I used to do it very studiously just to try to figure
learn,
out.
Yeah.
But now I am who I is, and I'm not going to change how I do what I do. And the preparation doesn't require me to look at the camera or look at my feedback. But I was watching with Seth. And I get why people...
Oh, because it's the first time you watched that interview specifically.
And I get why people find it so entertaining.
Yeah.
Because I look like...
You were having fun during it.
Yeah, and it just looks like, look at this news guy.
Yeah.
He's totally twisted up trying to figure out what the hell's going on the other side of the screen.
Yeah, it was a remarkable interview. It was great television. It was really great having you here.
Henry, the best to you. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here and talk to you.
I'm thankful you're here. Thank you so much.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.